Hi there, members, and welcome to the club, our Wednesday live session. Let's go straight to the Trello board and see what we're covering today. I'll share my screen. And go to our Trello board here. Our next live session flagged off at the very top of our next communication list. And the topics that we're covering today, we'll go through the new daily focus for the coming week. We'll also be reminding you about the changes to the club membership. So those who have understood them clearly in the past, it'll be a little bit boring for a couple of minutes there. I'll also be telling you a little bit about the progress I'm achieving on the My Smile Sim doing session. And our main topics for today, pre-booking your schedule, and I'm going to be delivering some hints on how to be more efficient and have a stress-free and more productive schedule. So the very first thing is the daily focus. I'm just gonna jump over to my email. This is what you'll be receiving. And the daily focus for the coming week is the final stage of closing off our four growth stoppers. The growth stoppers, just to quickly remind you, I think it was session 34. Yes, it was. So session 34 was talking about the four areas where you can lose patience, not patience as in get irritable, but our valued clients. The first area is when they first contact the practice, is the rapport they build with the receptionist, is that connection strong enough to make them feel happy enough to actually come in and book an appointment time? And then they come in for the non-clinical experience. So that's walking through the front door, waiting in the waiting room area. Are the things they're hearing, seeing, sensing and feeling elements that's going to make them want to stay with you as a practice, or do they turn people off? So the second growth stopper area is the non-clinical experience. And the third one is the clinical experience. So while they're actually in the surgery, in the chair receiving the treatment, what's going on between the dentist and the assistant? How painful are those injections and the scale and cleans? How much care and nurturing is delivered to the patient themselves? And so that clinical experience, if it's not to a certain standard, then that is another way of losing patients. That's the third growth stopper. Now we're up to the final one for this coming week, which is follow-up. And what I suggest for the follow-up is, number one, have you got TLC phone calls happening in your surgery? And so after they've had come in for a toothache or a broken tooth, are they called and double checked in on to make sure they're still feeling okay? New patients, how was your first appointment time with us? How was your experience? Is there anything further that we can do to make your experience better with us? So those TLC phone calls are a lovely system to put in place to make sure you're closing off that fourth growth stopper. The second element is, consider how you're confirming the next appointment times they may have booked in. Their recall, when that's due, what are you sending out? Are you doing an SMS, a letter, a telephone call? And following up for the outstanding treatment. And so those kind of follow-up contacts, they can be done in any of the methods of communication that we have available to us. Quite often, we start to choose as a practice with these wonderful computer systems and database search engines and all the rest of it. We start tackling these systems in a way that is most efficient for the practice. Get that task done quick. I've got lots of things to do here at the front desk. Don't make this a laborious thing for me. In many instances, choosing efficiency is a great way of tackling a certain situation. However, when we are talking about the management of patients, the direct management of patients, don't be inclined just to go with efficiency. Make sure you're still delivering great value and a great experience for your patient as well. So do have an assessment of that. Don't always choose efficiency when the patient's directly involved. The third element is that if the patient's gone for a 6-month period because they're all set for 6 months, then that is quite a lengthy period of time to be out of communication with your precious patient. Coming in just twice a year if they've got no other dental concerns provides a lot of opportunity in between visits to communicate with them, not in a harassing way, but in a way that is helpful for them. And as you know, we've got all different options, physical mail, email, SMS, links to a website page that may have a newsletter information there, social media updates, many ways that we can communicate with patients in a non-obtrusive way. The sort of things that I suggest that you follow up with patients in between their recall visits is team updates. Has any of the team members been on a holiday? Not likely at the moment. Has there been any births? Continued education that you could post the certificate up on social media, for example. Introducing new team members into the practice and existing team member profiles. Once patients have got a relationship with you, or they just love learning more about you. So even just a reminder of this is the person, this is their hobbies, this is why they got into dentistry in the first place, is truly interesting for your patient base. Another thing that you could communicate to your patients in between their recall appointment times is let's focus on a particular aspect of oral health, such as toothbrushing technique, such as how disclosing tablets help children improve their brushing, the impact of diet on oral health, and the oral systemic links to health, so how the oral condition can impact stroke, heart attack, diabetes, conditions such as those. So focus on one area and provide some education to your patients. Another thing you could do is detail a specific treatment. We know how everything gets done. Most patients do not. There are confusing treatments that we do deliver in dental practices. Root canal therapy is one of the ones where it requires a lot of explanation for that patient to truly understand what's going on for them. And so concentrating on one specific area of treatment and educating them about that is a very helpful thing to do for your patient base. You may start talking about promotions on whitening or some other promotion that you've got going on at your practice, and a reminder why recalls are so important. That's a great one to put out just before you're going to send those recall reminders out. Put the alerters to these are the reasons why recalls are really crucial to maintaining a certain standard of oral health. So then they get that message, and then after that they get the recall reminder, maybe they'll be more inclined to pop on in. So you can do these sort of updates to patients, these communications to patients, using any of those avenues that are available to us. So establishing systems for the above follow-up opportunities will help close this growth stopper and provide your patients with reasons to continue to choose your practice rather than go anywhere else. And just finalising, this is the last time we'll be seeing this wonderful quote by Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon. We see our patients, customers, as invited guests to a party, and we are the hosts. And I just love that. It's our job every day to make every important aspect of the customer experience better. And that is one of the reasons why I do suggest mystery shoppers into your practice, because it's our job every day to make every important aspect of the patient experience better. And who better to tell you than someone from a very objective standpoint saying, this is what you do great, this is what you could improve upon. So I hope that week of daily focus around closing that fourth growth stopper of follow-up can be assisted with these emails. Let's go back to our live session today. We've ticked off that as a job well done. Changes to the club membership, just a quick boring one for those who've already seen this many times before. Just making sure I am recording all the rest of it. Beautiful. The changes to the club membership, all you need to do is go to the link. I'm sending you out emails, you know, about once a week. Send you out an email with a link to the club page. For those who don't know and have not heard of this yet, the club has been a no-charge service since April. It's going to start being a charge service as of this month moving forward. There are two levels of membership that you can choose. And even though you're already registered as a club participant, as a club member, you need to re-register. And the reason behind that is because your initial registration didn't require any credit card details. And I can't easily add that in after the fact. And so a re-registration process is important. But if you can't afford it yet because of the COVID situation and where your practice sits financially, that's okay. I've got something for you as well. So when you get to the club page, on the Julie Parker Practice Success website, you put .com.au at the end. It doesn't matter. It takes you to the same place. Just scroll down partway, and you can click on that big button at the very top there if you know what level of membership you'd like to move into. Or you can scroll all the way down to the bottom, and that will give you the two choices. What you've got at the moment is very close to the club basic membership, and it's only $49 a month. You continue having the weekly live sessions. You continue to have access to the library within the Club Hub, the members only page on the website, of all of the previous recording sessions and doing sessions, etc. So this is the Club Hub page, and we've got all the live session recordings there. You just move through those. They've got the titles, the main topics that we're discussing on each of those live sessions. And you've got the doing sessions there as well that you can rewatch at any time. The Charles Coves sessions, any other special guests that we've had on. We've got a whole series of the downloads there. I'm going to be displaying this slightly differently. I think this is a little bit cumbersome. I'm trying to find what you want. So the appearance of that will change, but you've got all the downloads there that I speak about during the live sessions. And then the link to the Facebook community, which is one of the other things that you are entitled to with the Club Basic level. Now, with the Club Basic level, for our foundation members such as yourselves, you will maintain access, full access to the Julie Parker Practice Successes, the JPPS online courses. And that's not going to be available for new members coming in unless they buy the larger membership level. But for you guys, I'm not taking it away from you. So you'll have constant access while you've got the Club Basic membership. You'll also have access to all of the online courses as well. If you wanted to get started with that, just click on the button. It will take you through, enter in all your registration details and you're set. If you find that $49 a month is still unaffordable for your practice because of the current situation we're in, there's a discount code. And that discount code is listed here as well. And it's the word ASSIST, A-S-S-I-S-T, in capitals. I'm not quite sure if it matters if it's in capitals or not, so you might as well pop it in capitals. But the word ASSIST is a discount code that will afford you another 6 months of no charge membership. So please, if you're in that position, feel free to go ahead and allocate that discount code to your membership. The second level of club membership is the club membership. So $497 a month. You have got everything that the Club Basic has. In addition, any new members coming in, if they get the club membership, the high level, they will have access to the Julie Parker Practice Success online courses. But in addition, there's two things that you guys get over and above what the Club Basic offers, and they can be really quite life-changing for you. Number one is a monthly live session just with me, one-on-one, for an hour. And that happens every single month. And we can work on your team, on yourself, on your practice. And then if you want to do self-work to an even higher level, that's where these live one-on-one sessions with Charles Coves every single month can really help you gain greater enjoyment out of this beautiful gift of life. And you become a far more passionate, productive person within your role at the dental practice. So hopefully those two things will really entice you as to think, oh gosh, we can really have some fun with that for the coming year of 2021 that's closely approaching us. So if you'd like to have that level of membership, click on Get Started, enter your details, and you're all set. So you've got the rest of this month to sign up. So I encourage you to do so. Wait for the email to come out, or make sure it comes out to you again within the next couple of days. So it's a reminder for you to re-register so you can continue getting all of these helpful insights and strategies every single week for your practice. Going back to our agenda today, we've clicked that off. That's wonderful. Now, My Smile Sim is that application where patients can and non-patients can send through a before picture, and then there's a simulation tool where it can make the teeth whiter, close gaps, straighten teeth, provide veneers and crowns, and really improve the appearance of the smile. And they get that image back. Hopefully it engages them in a process of thinking, gosh, one day I might go ahead and get some sort of cosmetic work done. So some people will be ready to move with that straight away. Others, it'll just be an intriguing thing that's in the back of their mind, and they'd like to come on down for you in a year and 5 years' time and get this sort of treatment done. You can really use this as a practice builder while we're all getting back on track again with dental services. And the doing session of how, so first of all, with the on the Club Hub page, you'll be able to see the Club Hub page, the special guests of, there we are, Les and Jonathan of My Smile Sim. If you don't know what the product is, go back and have a look at that special guest session. And then if you're intrigued about how to implement that into your practice, this doing session is really going to help. So I've just got a couple of different recordings that I'm splicing and editing, as well as doing a whole bunch of other things, such as moving home, which we're in our brand new home now, which is wonderful. While Andy Lee's up there of Health Practice Digital, he's playing a role in the doing session as well. So if you want to implement it into your practice books and get some great ideas of how to promote it online, Andy's going to be providing some information around that as well. So that's going to be an interesting and exciting thing for you to see as a practice builder for your practice. Let's get into the guts of today. And we are going to be talking about, I'm just going to double check, pre-booking your schedule and some hints to create a more efficient, stress-free and productive working schedule. And doesn't that all sound magnificent? Let me go on to my PowerPoint for the day. Here we go. The first thing I want to talk about is what makes up your schedule. So as you know, there's an array of different services that you offer that are populating your schedule at the moment. They are a combination of high ticket items such as crowns or Invisalign implants, and then there's the mid-range stuff, so your root canal therapies, your fillings, and then there's the other stuff, which isn't terribly productive, but they are all the maintenance visits, the reviews, the recalls, and the free consults or charged consults for discussion. The low production appointment times, I've always seen them rather than label them as low production appointment times, I look at them as production getting appointment times. And so they're the ones where cavities are identified, large fillings are identified, and crown work, ortho, cosmetic, all those things require a consultation, either an examination or an emergency consultation. And so that all comes from the low production items. And so we can't have the mid-production and high-production items without those low-production items. So I like calling them production-getting equipment times. And the following process I'm going to share with you is one that is shared in the dental community throughout here and America. I've seen it on a number of occasions, and it just makes so much sense. I'm going to repeat it here. So the high-production items, that's going to call them rocks, large rocks. The mid-production items are pebbles, so smaller, just pebbles. And the low production appointment times is sand, lots of grains of sand. And the reason why referring to them as rocks, pebbles, and sand is in the following slide. Actually, the one beyond it. So what normally happens is that as you are pre-booking your recalls, which is the advised thing to do when a patient leaves their current recall appointment time, they're already booking the one 6 months down the track into the schedule. And what normally happens is that those people get the prime spots. They get the late night sessions. They get the Saturday morning sessions. They get the 8 o'clock in the morning sessions. By the time that time of the year comes, then all of the mid and high production items that need to be scheduled in have to move around, booked around the recall appointment times. And so you can see all of these recall appointment times gathering in down the bottom. And then as we get closer to that time, we start throwing in the mid-production items and a few more recalls book in because we've sent out the recall reminders. And so a few more of those book in, taking up some more time, possibly being scheduled at times where you're not leaving long enough gaps in the appointment book to be able to book in the lengthy time that we need to get the high production items done. We can still fit in a few more of the pebbles, the mid-production items, but the rocks, we've only managed to fit two in because everything else was booked by the time came, and we have still got stuff wanting to be booked in that we don't have any time for. And when I say that we've got some stuff that we want to book in that we haven't got any time for, before we go down the path of identifying what kind of schedule is going to suit our practice best, we have to put in place a couple of targets. I'm going to go back one slide here. I think I just flipped them when I was doing it before. Let's have a think about how we want to make sure that we have enough space for all of the production items that we've got in the schedule. So we definitely need enough time for the high production and mid production things, but we absolutely need to allocate time for the number of new patients that come through, the number of recalls that come through our practice as well. We need those in order to maintain our great relationship with our current clients and maintain their loyalty. But also remember their production getting appointment times, production identification appointment times. So we need to have them constantly coming in all the time as well. A good exercise to do for your practice is, first of all, set a yearly turnover target. Practices sometimes do have targets. Sometimes the target's just in the owner's mind as a hope that they get to, that they've got some sort of target themselves they're trying to reach. I have no problems in encouraging teams and team members to identify a financial target and have practice some open book management. You know, these are all the costs that go into making sure this practice is run viably. I was at a practice recently and the owner said to the team, this is how much money we make in a year. And one of the many staff members in the waiting room were in a group meeting, went, what? Because she thought it was quite a high figure, and it was a healthy high figure. And then further on through the meeting, he said, and these are all the costs, and this is the total output, the total expenses that we have to pay every year. And she said, what? Because she didn't expect it to be that high either. And so if we're going to set targets in place, there's only benefit that can be had when the whole team are exposed to the figures on the other side. Yes, this is how much the target is, but this is why. Because we want to continue making sure that we pay all of your wages, that we continue improving the standard of the space, of the equipment, the standard of consumables that we order in. Our rent goes up every year. All these things happen, which make it crucial for us to have a constantly increasing target for the business. A business can't just remain stable year after year after year because all of your expenses are increasing, wages increases, cost of consumables increases, as I said, rent increases. And so all of these things happen if you are improving constantly the level of service, constant and never any improvement, as you know, I love that concept. If you are in the process of making sure your practice is moving through constant and never any improvement, that also usually means that there's going to be increases to your expenses. Maybe you're going to start burning aromatherapy in boiling aromatherapy in your practice, and so now you've got an additional cost of making sure those oils are always in stock. Every little thing adds up, and so you do need to make sure that you have got a constantly increasing yearly turnover target, but do yourself a service and have open book management so everybody in your team really understands it's not just so you can line your pockets further, it's so we can continue to improve the experience that patients and team members have at this particular practice. Let's have a look at establishing a target. So let's pretend that the target is $500,000. We're going to divide that down into weekly targets. And the reason behind that is the $500,000 target in January is all elusive, but you've got a whole year to try to achieve it, so don't stress. You get halfway through the year, maybe you're only at $200,000, and you're like, that's okay, I'll just work harder for the next 6 months and we'll try to get to that target. And then you get to November and you're at $400,000, you're like, crips, what happened? Like, we are so off, there's no way we're going to be able to reach our target now. Why didn't I catch this sooner? So when you are managing your figures every week and every month, you are catching it nice and early. We're not on track. What modifications do we need to the way we do things here to make sure we do eventually get to $500,000 by the end of the year? And so do divide your yearly target down to the month, or even better, to the week. So at least you've got a fair idea every week, I need to be making this. And when you're talking about pre-booking your appointment time, down to the week is going to be evident why that's important a little bit later on, because we have to put those times aside in the appointment book, and the appointment book is made up of weeks. So let's have a look at the SAND first of all. The expected number of recalls each week can be determined. Do a report for the previous year. How many 011s were done? Initial examinations, that's how many places you have to put aside for new patients. And 013 sometimes can be new patient as well, but 011's for new patients and 012's for regular patients. So how many, if we are going to make sure we maintain our current relationships and loyalty, we need to make sure there's enough time put aside in the book for these people. So let's say we have 12 half-hour appointment times at $200 each. We need 12 recall appointment times every week to make sure that we are catering to our current crowd, to our current client base. And so they do get charged on average, just use averages here. So bite me x-rays every couple of years, check up and clean. Sometimes they have a suspicious assailant. Sometimes they don't want to go ahead with the x-rays. That's okay. We're doing averages, broad averages. So 12 half-hour appointment times at $200 each, that equals $2,400 by the end of the week. So that ends up meaning $115,200 in the bank going towards our $500,000 target. All of a sudden, it's looking a lot more achievable. It's pretty exciting. And then we've got our mid-range target. And our mid-range, let's just say if you're, when you think about how many fillings you can get done in an hour, and it might be one, it might be three, what you'd be normally charging for that kind of filling work, root canal therapy work, what would you normally be charging per hour? Let's just pretend we're plucking figures out here, $325 an hour. So it's charging it a roughly $325 an hour for a mid-production range of treatments. We need to have 15 hours per week put aside for them at $325 an hour. That's going to contribute an additional $234,000 into our bank in contribution to our $500,000 target. Again, if you are unsure of where to go, like how do you figure out 15 hours a week? Do you just figure out a dollar amount and divide it down? Well, you can if you want, but I like having something a little bit more specific. Run that report. It's an items performance report. That's what it's called in Dental Windows. I'm sure there'll be reports in all of the other dental software systems as well, where you can just throw in a series of item numbers and it will come up with how many of those things were done over the past year. It'll also give you a financial amount of how much was charged. And if it gives you the amount of time that was spent doing those items, then you can just divide the tally by the number of hours you spent doing those items and you would end up with your hourly rate. But that degree of tracking in your dental software system may not be available. And so speak with the dentists about it, and each one will have a different range, but speak with the dentists about how much do you reckon you would end up charging per hour for fillings? You know, if it's a really big filling, is it $325 for one really big filling and that would take you an hour? Would it be two fillings that are smaller at $150 each, say $300 an hour? So you will get a nice range there, a nice average there. Then we've got the rocks, the big stuff, the crowns, the aesthetic cases, the implants, the whatever it is that you guys do that are your big ticket items, your rocks, your high production things. And let's just say we need to have 3 hours per week. We're averaging around $1,000. We're charging out on average around $1,000 per high production item. And we need 3 hours per week. That's going to contribute $144,000 towards our $500 yearly target. It's so achievable when you think about your schedule in this way. And what that means is that if you put aside, because what this ends up being for the average dentist's schedule, and I think I've worked it off as 4 days a week, because you know, a lot of dentists on average work 4 days a week, not five, that this will make up 75% of the available slots in any given week. So 75% of the schedule, you're going to move it so I can read what I've just written. 75% of the schedule will be made up of the blocks. 75% of your schedule, once booked, you've got your target met. It gives you 25% of your book to do reviews at no charge, consults at no charge, second opinions at no charge, little bits and pieces. You know, maybe the crown didn't insert, so we've got a re-insert of a crown. So it allows you 25% wiggle room. But once you've got this in the appointment book, it only takes up 75% of your appointment book, and that is your target met. And so if you're tracking this every single week, I hope you can see how, gosh, we've got a real firm handle on how we're going towards our $500,000 target. We didn't get even half of what we should have got last week, for example. That means we're going to have to figure it out and overbook, make sure we're getting those high production, mid production stuff in the next couple of weeks so we can bring it back to what we need on average every day or every week to get to our target. The problem is that often without the pre-booking process, you end up with this. And as I said, you're going to have a whole bunch of lower production, the production identifying, but not so much a production making, appointment times, filling up the schedule, blocking up all those spaces. And so you needed to get all of these rocks, pebbles, and sand in that schedule in order to meet target. But you didn't, because it was filled up with ineffective scheduling. And so this stuff here can't even fit in the schedule. You've got it there, you've got the patients ready to book in, but they can't get in because it's filled up with other things. And a lot of you would have seen that experiment that I can't even remember if it was a teacher, it was a lecturer or somebody that had, you know, I think they talk about the amount of things you can get done or the amount of stress in your life. I can't actually quite remember, but he has a container. And he talks about the amount of things that you can fill into that container. And then at the end, because if you start off with the sand, it takes up a bulk, dense amount part of, you know, section of that container. And then you put the pebbles in, then you can put the rocks in at the top. However, if you do it the other way around and you put the rocks in first, and then you put some pebbles in around the rocks, and then you pour the sand in over the top, the sand comes in and all around, and you can end up fitting everything into that container. So that's the concept to have in your head. So with this, let's have a look how the pre-booking process is going to work for us. Allocating time in your schedule for high production and mid-production ensures you won't run out of time to meet your weekly targets. And so instead of looking at a completely vacant appointment book in 6 months' time, down, you know, 6 months down the track, and saying, sure, let's book your 6 monthly appointment timing now. When's best for you? The schedule is clear. When's best for you? I'll have 8 o'clock in the morning on Friday morning. That's perfect. And all of a sudden, all these spots start appearing. And that this is where the problem normally arises, where 6 months down the track, there's no room left for anything else. Instead, though, of looking at a vacant appointment book, a vacant schedule, you are now either color-coded in some way, you've identified these are the spots for new patients. These are the spots for recalls. These are the spots for mid-production for my pebbles, and these are the spots for the rocks. You've got a guide now as a receptionist. You've got a guide to tell you this is where we've chosen to allocate time for that particular service. And this allows you, once the time comes round, and you've got that crown prep patient waiting with bated breath, come on, book me, I can't wait to get this crown done. You can say, I've got a time for you next Tuesday at 2:00 because it's pre-scheduled, it's pre-booked, it's allocated, it's on hold for that particular treatment. And you know the treatment's going to be there because if you are reflecting back what happened the previous year and you're using those item performance reports, what did you do last year? Unless something big has happened to the contrary of that kind of treatment planning, you're going to do that and more this coming year, hopefully and more, because if you're on that constant never any improvement path, you're providing deeper level of engagement with patients and the education around their oral conditions and the solutions that can be provided for them. Everyone's getting friendlier, trained into a more higher degree, the communication skills, everything's getting better. So hopefully you do at the very least what you did last year. So you know that these big spots, gosh, one's coming up but it's not filled yet, oh my gosh. No, it's good, it's there. We got it last year, there's every chance we'll get it this year, and what you focus on grows. So it's quite extraordinary as a receptionist how often you have this spot sitting there and you're like, oh, come on, book it in. Next patient comes out, need a crown, beauty, go straight in. So this is how you've got these pre-booked scheduled times for all of these items. And so then when these patients are needing the treatment, you can book them straight in. At the end of the year, you have reached your target because you have, number one, allocated the time in your book to be able to reach it. You've set it, you've set a mindful target. You've got the intention every week. The intention is just in those pre-book slots. That's your intention that you're moving into each day with. And then you've got the spaces to actually put them in. You haven't got any of these pebbles and rocks sitting to the side just wanting to book in, but they can't get in. So the pre-booking works in that format. And this is how it can be converted into your appointment book. And so having that concept in mind, this is a sort of appointment book that you're looking at. There's no names in there or anything. Color coding is a really nice way because it helps train the brain into seeing a color and having a certain response. And so as you can see here, the gray are all the large spots. We've got the sand in there color coded, and we've got the pebbles as well. All, everything is allocated for those particular things. As you can see, it's a good idea to have slots that are a bit longer, a little bit shorter, to accommodate the different things. Maybe someone needs one filling and not always two or three fillings. Maybe that's why we've got three lines here rather than, and over here, we've got six lines. With the recalls, let's make sure there's spaces for families to book in for their recalls as well. So it's not just lots of, you know, 2-quarter-hour blocks everywhere. And what I do suggest, as you know, you want it to be so 75% to 80% of your book is pre-booked, and that's what's going to get you to target, because you need that wiggle room, because the whole installation, TA, you get someone that can't be charged for a particular thing, you get the reinsert of a crown that you didn't bank on. So you can't have 100% of your book. You have people sick. The dentist is sick and can't come in. We want the wriggle room. So 75% to 80% of your pre-scheduled slots needs to reach your target. But then I want you to be flexible with the rest. What we don't want is to have a discussion with a patient where the only appointment times that are available to them are all at times that don't suit them. So they end up making a time that doesn't quite suit them, because that's one of the key reasons people late cancellation and FTA. Because people are like, doesn't quite suit, but I'll just make it work. And then, as we all know, don't we do this? We get to the day of the doctor's appointment time, the hairdressing appointment time, that online, whatever, and we go, oh my God, this is not what was I thinking? There's no way I can make this work. I'm going to have to cancel. So we don't want to create reasons why people cancel late or move their appointment time late. So I still do want you to have a thought in your head. The ideal patient, the ideal appointment time for that patient still needs to be playing a large role in what times that we offer. So it's okay to move a high production, a rock or a pebble, mid production. It's okay to move these ones around within the same week or within the same month, because we've still got time allocated for that person, for that treatment when it arises, where we can actually book it in. But don't just cancel out a high production to put in three recalls without just recreating that high production time somewhere else. So move them around. So I hope that is a concept that makes sense to you. And it is a task to get there. It's a task to go through all the reports, but it's interesting information. It's information that's pretty important in terms of reaching a goal, reaching a target, finding out where you are right now, and finding out where you want to be, and actually hitting and recognizing what needs to be played in order to get to that target. There's no point in saying, we made $500,000 last year. Next year, I want to improve. Let's make $550,000. But not actually recognizing, well, it's going to take more time. And is it going to be booked with what? More recalls? More new patients? No, we need pebbles and rocks to beef up that production. And so it's a way of educating yourself around what's going on in your practice and what plays a role in reaching targets. So then you can actually pre-book your schedule out in a way that makes sense. And once you've pre-booked your schedule, see how things work, make modifications where you need to, and have that be, as well as everything else in your practice, a constantly never-ending improving system in your practice as well. Let's go through a few hints on how to have a more efficient, stress-free, and productive schedule. Number one, the treatment planning software. So I always use Jennifer Windows as examples because I've got their software on my computer so I can get images really quickly. But as I always say, so many of these software systems, they all have their pros and cons, but they all fundamentally have the same kind of reports and the same kind of appointment making process and patient contact information, all the rest of it. So tracking your targets is made easier when the team utilise the treatment planning module in your software. So quite often you will be able to generate a report of what we're making this current week. If you're pre-scheduling and if you colour code your rocks, pebbles and sand to be in line with rocks, pebble and sand, then you can just see at a glance, okay, we've got three rocks here, we've got a smattering of pebbles and we're filling it up with sand. That's all going to be, that's looking like a good week. Your mind will turn to that, turn to the colour coding, and it will become something that you become much more aware about and in tune with as time goes on. But you can become more specific. So if the treatment planning module where you've actually got, I want this treatment done in number one appointment time and this one done in number two appointment time, etc., and you actually attach that treatment plan for that appointment time into the appointment time itself, then there'll be a report that you can say, what am I making today? And it will give you an absolute dollar figure. That is a very, if you can get your whole team on board with that, that's the most accurate way. You can track whether you're managing your targets. Otherwise, do get KPIs. And so make sure your KPIs include the turnover of the whole practice, the turnover for each dentist as well, each provider, and bring it down to a daily target and an hourly target. So are they all kind of still maintaining a certain financial income ability within the practice? Attach item numbers to every appointment time and run that simple report. So that is one way you can make sure that you're on track for your targets. Another thing I reckon that's just so crucial, and a lot of people do see morning huddles as really important. Even people that don't do morning huddles say, I'm sure it's really important. And when you are trying to get to targets and when you're doing pre-booked scheduling, they're very, very handy. And so assessing and planning the day ahead will identify areas to be addressed and reduce the chances of stressful moments. So the morning huddle removes all the barriers to a stressful, not all of them, but many of the barriers to a stressful free day. As you can imagine, you can, is all the lab work in? We don't want to find out 5 minutes before that patient's due to sit in the chair for the, that's the common one. Are all the OPGs attached rather than being in the surgery and then saying to the receptionist who's on the phone, three phone calls, can you also attach the OPG? That creates a bit of a time-wasting stress for the receptionist, stress for the dentist and the nurse in the surgery. Are there any anxious patients in? So let's make sure we've got the Penthrox ready, whatever calming aids that we have for particularly anxious patients. Make them, they're all out and ready, so we're not wasting time trying to get them and we're not surprised by this particularly anxious patient in the chair. Where can we schedule emergencies? That's a huge pressure. It's a full schedule. The receptionist gets an emergency, obvious abscess from a well-known patient, a valued patient. Where am I supposed to put it? I'm going to squeeze them in here because I think that's the best place. A squeezed in patient makes the surgery go, oh my God, like squeezed in a patient. We've got no time for that. And so identifying areas for the risk, giving the receptionist that needed permission of where to put these important emergency patients, determining that in the morning huddle reduces a lot of stress throughout that day. Have all the patients been confirmed? That helps making sure that the receptionist knows her job. There's no problems with that at all, but it's wonderful when we're all aware so we can all help remind each other. The days get busy. You have five things going on in your head at a time. It's wonderful when someone can quickly offer up, don't forget to confirm that patient. Great, got it. Well, thank you so much for reminding me. That's great. And making sure that people are turning up on time for their appointment times and actually turning up for their appointment times so you can hit production targets. It will also place focus on what needs to be done today in order for targets to be met in the future. This is a very big part of it. My life has been one where I've really identified how important it is to focus positive energy towards a thing that you need, a thing that you want. Whenever I have been on reception, there's always standby lists or cancellation lists in the software itself, hidden away behind a button somewhere or a drop-down box list somewhere. I've always maintained writing it on a post-it note and putting it right in front of me that I see it all the time is the best way of making sure that patient will get the time that they want. And it comes down to being terribly specific as well. We're at the moment the 14th of October. Patient wants to come in on the 4th of December at 4. That's ideal. And I say with confidence, leave it with me. I always say, let's book another appointment time just in case, but leave it with me. I rest assured every single time that person is in front of me, I'm looking at it every time, and I'm looking at it with love. Oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. 4th December, 4th, great. It ends up happening. It's amazing. The morning huddle can be that for your rocks or your high production times. And so one of the things that you want to do is, in the coming schedule, when is the next high production block? It is next Tuesday at 2. Great, everyone, focus next Tuesday at 2. You're not finding stuff that's not there in patients, but the universe just delivers. And a patient comes in, I'm finally ready to get that crown done. Beautiful. How about Tuesday next week? Suits me fine. It's just amazing that what you focus on grows, what you put positive energy towards, you create it, you manifest it. And it has proven to be that way time and time again over my decades in the dental industry. So this is where the morning huddle can really contribute towards the production side, that you're all focused on what needs to be booked in coming up. So as patients come through, you're like, oh, that, there's one for that one, there's one for that one, there's one for that one. We're online with targets. It's all exciting stuff. So the morning huddles, they absolutely create efficiency because things are being done. OPGs are being attached early. Lab work is in. Patients that are usually running late for their appointment time are being identified in the morning huddle. Give them a call, ask them to come in 10 minutes earlier for whatever reason, fill out redo their medical history, update their medical history, because we just want them in sooner. So it creates a more efficient schedule. It reduces stress. You're not running around after your towel, trying to get things attached and where's the lab work and what's going on. That patient's all so stressed out. We've run out of Penthrox. Reduces stress. Where am I going to put that emergency spot? Oh my God, they've squeezed an emergency in. Reduces all that stress. It also makes sure that it's addressing the production side too. So it's making your schedule more productive because you've got focus and attention on it. You can also assess the patients on the cancellation list. This is another thing as well. Quite often, a patient will be on a cancellation list and just by happenstance, the dentist will be gazing over the list and go, oh, that patient, they need to come in sooner. We really need to call that one. Can you make sure, I'm just going to make a time for this person because they need to come in. That's partway through a root canal. And so making sure that all the providers are aware of who's on that cancellation list is also a helpful thing to make sure that your patients are being looked after in the way that is being designed by the practice. By the dentists and all the providers. So morning huddles are a must for a stress-free, efficient and productive working schedule. The day sheet assessment. This is a helpful aid for your dentists, owners or associate dentists or providers. So when you've got that target, this is the practice overall target. We've broken that down into a weekly or monthly target. And then we're going to break that down to each provider. Every provider is different. Some providers earn $250 an hour. Other providers earn $1,000 an hour. So each provider, if you can break that target down so they've got their own personal targets, that's a helpful exercise. And so the purpose of tracking your day sheets for a month is to learn how your surgery is performing in terms of efficient treatment planning. So this is where you can say, gosh, on reflection, see, I ran 10 minutes early here. I'm always running 10 minutes early on cram preps. I must be getting quicker. I think it's worthwhile, instead of putting 90 minutes aside, I'm going to start putting 80 minutes aside. All of a sudden, you're more efficient and more productive. Engaging the patient in your recommended treatment. So when you've got this printout of the day sheet in front of you, and there are part of your downloads in the Club Hub has this day sheet assessment guide, you know, the example in the guide. So you go through each of your day sheets, you put these interesting notes on the side, when you ran early, when you ran late, and then with every patient that you suggested immediate treatment for, not recalls for 6 months, but you need a filling, you've got a decay, you need a crown, you put a tick beside those patients. At the end of the day, just click into each of those patients, circle the ones that booked an appointment time. Collect these sheets. At the end of the week at the end of the month, whenever you're wanting to do it, go back, make sure your ticks are updated, because sometimes people say, I'll call you the minute I get home and book an appointment time, and they actually do. So go through all your unticked items, circle the ones that have actually booked in. There you have your booking rate, your rescheduling rate for your patients. If it is low or dropping, think, what can I do to better engage, better communicate what's going on for the patient to them? Who in the practice is great at it? Who has a great rebooking rate? Can I come in? I'm going to be your dental nurse. I'm going to be your assistant for a couple of patients, a couple of examination patients. But I want to see what you do. I'm going to learn from you, because we're all on this constant and never-ending improvement journey. So engaging patient in recommended treatment, it helps you identify that good daily production. And so I have that bottom. The amount of patients I saw, there were 9 of them. I invoiced out that much. There were this many new patients, and my downtime was this much. So it allows you to keep a good track of, what do I make every hour, every day, every week? So your daily production, it helps with, and the number of new patients you attract and have access to. If you used to be getting 3 new patients every day, on average, 9 a week, and all of a sudden it's dropped down to 2, then let's ask the question, let's have a discussion with the receptionist and the other dentist. Is the whole practice numbers down? Or is it just mine? Am I doing something that isn't encouraging patients to recommend patients directly to me? So it helps you make sure that you are closing those 4 growth stoppers, making sure that the clinical experience that you're delivering to your patients is one that is encouraging growth, rather than have it slowly draw away to a point where if you weren't doing this kind of tracking, one day you look at the figures and you're like, what the hell happened? And then you look back and you're like, this has been happening for a year. I had no idea. I was busy. Didn't realize things were going down the gurgler. So the day sheet assessment can really be helpful. Also, get to know your own body, your eyesight, what fatigues you, all the rest of it. Quite often it is a good big morning, which is great for production. So you're bright and early, you've had a hearty breakfast, you're alert, you've just gotten up, had the shower, you've had a bit of exercise maybe, and you get in for a nice big morning from 8 through to 1. Seems like a long session, but then you have lunch from 1 to 2, and then you've got this nice, easy 3-hour thing in the afternoon. But you'll have your own ideal. So think about, when is my most productive time? Sometimes it'll be, I'm not a morning person. In the afternoon, I kick goals. And so recognize and then change your schedule to suit. And nowadays, of course, there's a lot of change schedules because we're trying not to have everyone have lunch together at the same time. And so in communication with your assistant, then you can possibly find a really lovely way of overlapping days where everyone's working at a time that they feel at their optimal best. And just a few rules to work by, and I'm touching on things that we've already spoken about. So number one, this is a little list that you can take away with you if you like. Number one, conduct morning huddles. If you don't already conduct them, there is a previous live session that has concentrated on morning huddles. And always let me know if you'd like more information about that, because I can certainly jump online with you and go through that. Perform day sheet assessments. Really important for your own personal production, your own personal level of engagement with patients. To find out to be able to track what you can't track, you can't manage. What you can track, you can manage. Know your targets. Don't just approach every year aimlessly. Pre-book your schedule, because as I said, that's the way you meet targets. Emergencies seen on the day, get them out of pain and reschedule. So I'm always a big supporter in getting emergencies seen, having times put aside for emergencies. Number one, if it's a valuable client of yours and they have an emergency, if you don't see them, that's bad. They go, I've been a patient there for years. I'm in desperate need and they can't see me. I'm going somewhere else. So that's bad. But on top of that, seeing emergencies is also a practice builder. So you have, one of the theories that it float around out there is that emergency patients are all transient patients. They only come in the once or twice and you never see them again. Because sometimes they're loyal patients somewhere else, and that practice doesn't do pre-scheduling, or that practice doesn't put time aside for emergencies, and they can't see their valuable client. And that valuable client is out there looking for somebody else. Who's going to help me? If you help them while they're in desperate need, the way their valuable patient, their verbal practice couldn't, you're now number one, and they'll possibly transfer all of their work over to you, potential referrals over to you, longevity over to you. So emergencies are crucial for your existing clients to maintain that strong relationship, but also to start a potentially fabulous relationship with their new patient. Develop effective system for processing lab work. All the things that do cause stress in your life, just develop a great system. Keep tweaking the system until it's great, and then relax into that system. Ensure you have successful appointment confirmation processes as well. We want to reduce down, because we've got all these targets in place, we've got all these pre-allocated times, we've taken so much care and attention with our schedule, we want to make sure that people actually turn up. So do make sure you have a working confirmation process, and that's going to be a little bit of trial and error. You know, SMS messaging, not so great with the older generation, fantastic for the younger ones. You never want to answer their phone if you've got a room and confirm them. Older patients, they love the phone call. They love that conversation. They love clarifying, is it this time and how long will I be there for? So do make sure you've got a successful appointment confirmation process. Adhere to treatment plan requests of time. This is one thing that does create a lot of stress. If a dentist at some point has said, I need 90 minutes for that appointment time, and then as a receptionist, like, I've got to fit this person in. The dentist said, I've got to fit this person in. That's a nice long appointment time. I'll just shave off 10 minutes. Create stress. So make sure the dentist is providing the receptionist the permission of where to put emergency patients, where to have some wiggle room. But if 90 minutes has been allocated for something, it means they need 90 minutes. And so cutting it short will then mean that we're running a little bit late, we're under the pump, and it's stressful. So do try to stick to the treatment plan request of time. Restock the surgery daily. We don't want to be running out of the surgery unnecessarily to try to get more tissues or gloves. And develop a strong cancellation list. Now, I call this a super cancellation list. It's a cancellation list with the bells on. So a cancellation list traditionally is, I've got an appointment time that's booked into the system for this patient. This patient wants to, or the dentist wants them to, be seen sooner. So they're on a priority list, a cancellation list, where a standby list, where the minute a time comes available, I'm going to call that patient. I say, list it out. When you've had a late cancellation, even sometimes an FTA, if it's a long FTA, you want to have as many opportunities to fill that spot as humanly possible. So unless you're booking, all your bookings are just in this current week, if you're booking next week and beyond, especially 2 weeks and beyond, say to every one of those patients, I'm booking you in here. It is a couple of weeks away. So if anything comes up soon, I'll give you a call in case it suits. Have it part of your vocabulary, part of your thing that you say. Don't ask permission for it. Don't say, would you like me to call you with a sooner appointment time? No, just do the assumption. And then have a way of flagging those appointment times where the patient goes, sure. Flag them, yellow, something bright, in some way that your software system allows it within dental windows, it's changing the category. Yeah, category. to a bright colour. So when you get a late cancellation, when you haven't quite filled in that rock, that high production item, and it's tomorrow, and we've got 90 minutes put aside, then you can then just look through the schedule for the many yellows and just keep calling them until people can come on in. So don't just have high priority people on that cancellation list. Have as many people as you can on that cancellation list. And that be the presentation. So I hope you found that helpful. What time are we on? We're 2 minutes to spare. Gosh, going so well. I'll just quickly share the screen again so we can share screen. Just saw my hair again, the roots. I can't wait for these hairdressers to be open. We've done pre-booking your schedule and needs for a more efficient, stress-free and productive work schedule. Tick this off as done, take the priority off, we've already done it, dragging that card. Now, number 37, last session, number 37, over to the completed column. The recording will come out to you soon, within the next hour or two. I've got slow internet at this new place until we get our NBN organised on the 20th, so fingers crossed it does come out within the next hour or two, because things get a whole lot slower in the evening, I tell you. And I hope you all have a beautiful evening, and I look forward to catching up with you next time. Enjoy the daily focuses for closing off that fourth growth stopper follow-up, and jump on, re-register your membership whenever you can. If you can't afford it just yet, whack in the discount code of ASSIST, A-S-S-I-S-T. And look out for that doing session for My Smile Sim, because the coming days it'll be out. I'll be emailing it to everybody. Have a lovely evening, y'all, and I look forward to seeing you next time. See ya.